forget about yourself. Concentrate on Him and worship Him. So just forget about yourself. Concentrate on Him and worship Him. So just forget about yourself. Concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord. Oh, worship Christ the Lord. We have come, for we have come into His house, gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house, gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house, gathered in His name Christ the Lord. Oh, worship Christ the Lord. Let us lift up holy hands now. Oh, let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name and worship Him. Holy hands, magnify His name and worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name and worship Christ the Lord. Just forget about yourself. So just forget about yourself. Just concentrate on Him and worship Him. So just forget about yourself. Concentrate on Him and worship Him. Just forget about yourself. Concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord. Oh, worship Christ the Lord.
Because He lives.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all my fear, it is gone. Because I know, I know He holds my future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
Sing it again now.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow, because He lives, all fear, it is gone. one last time, say it now. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all my fear, it is gone. Because I know, oh yes, I know, He holds my future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Amen. He's alive this morning. Well, God bless you. I greet you all in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. It's good to have you here with us and those joining us online. God bless you. Good to have you as well. May you just feel His presence as we're feeling Him this morning. Amen. Amen. I feel He's come down this morning. Just a wonderful presence. Let's sing that song, He's in the House, key of G. Start with the chorus, Sister Becky.
He's in the house, oh, death has to flee. Now there is life where darkness used to be. Now there is hope, oh, there's no more doubt. Just praise His name, oh, praise His name. He's in the house, oh, life where darkness used to be. Now there is hope, oh, there's no more doubt. Praise His name, praise His name. He's in the house. Little girl was lying there, people all were weeping. They just laughed at Jesus when He said she's only sleeping. As He took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord and some began to say, He's in the house, oh, death has to flee. Now there is life where darkness used to be. Now there is hope, oh, there's no more doubt. Just praise His name, church, oh, praise His name. He's in the house. I was like that little girl, dead in all my sins, till Jesus touched this heart of mine and gave me life again. I'm just a house of clay ever since that blessed day. There's a light that shines on me for all the world to see. He's in the house, oh, death has to flee. Now there is life where darkness used to be. Now there is hope, oh, there's no more doubt. Let's praise His name, oh, praise His name. He's in the house, oh, death has to flee. Now there is life where darkness used to be. Now there is hope, oh, there's no more doubt. Let's praise His name, oh, praise His name. He's in the house, yes, death has, oh, it has to flee. Now there is life where darkness used to be.
there is hope. Oh, there's no more doubt. Praise His name. Praise His name. He's in the house. Hallelujah. 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 Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Majesty, oh, worship His majesty unto Jesus. His majesty unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, as the King. Oh, Majesty, let's worship His Majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
This atmosphere, we're just going to go to prayer. Ask Brother Mitch, if you'd come and just take these knees to our Lord. We want to remember the drums this morning, Mary Smith, and also the folks in Texas have just been asking for prayer. Brother Aaron, as he's in South Africa, and I don't know, I'm probably making his way home this week, so we want to lift him up in prayer. And Sister Laura Snow is back home in Arizona, so we want to praise the Lord for that. I know we've been lifting her up in prayer, and the Ivies as they're in Germany. And let's not forget Sister Angie's brother, and in prayer, just lift him up, and then the Crosses as they're in Michigan. So if you have a need this morning, just raise your hand as we go to our Heavenly Father. Brother Mitch, if you'd come.
Let's bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning just thanking you, Lord, for this beautiful day you've gave us. We're thanking you, Lord, for this time for us to come and just listen to your word, and just we thank you, Lord, for a place to come for our needs. We just bring forth the needs that were listed this morning, those who are traveling, and those who are sick and not able to be with us. We just pray that you touch them, that you would just go down to their house, Lord, and just fill their home with your spirit. Whether they be at home or in a hospital, Lord, we just ask that you go to them. We know that there are many who are hurting, Lord, and especially those that have experienced devastation, and we just pray that you go to them, that you would comfort them, Lord. Just guide their hands, Lord, guide their thoughts, and just comfort them, I pray. Just as we change the order of the service and have the minister come, we just ask that you speak to us. Help us to focus, Lord, and set aside the worries of this past week or any worries we may have of this upcoming week. Once again, Lord, we thank you. We love you. We just ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Mitch. Why don't you turn around, shake hands with one another, say God bless you as you're seated. And Brother Keith has got a special for us. So, Brother Keith, why don't you get ready, and then Sister Anna, you have a song, so when you come right after Brother Keith. Do you want her? Well, send the deacons. I'll get her. All right. We'll go next. All right. Sister Anna, are you available to come now? Oh, here she comes. Well, let's sing Majesty as we're waiting for her. Oh, Majesty, let's worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Oh, Majesty, Kingdom authority, flows from His throne unto His own, His anthem
Did that just for us.
Amen.
Amen. Just an old song here. This has become my newfound testimony. And I hope I give the devil a real big shock this morning when I jumped up out of the bed with no assistance and thanking God for a beautiful day to come into his presence. Amen. So it was nice. Anytime I can give him a black eye is wonderful. Just an old song here. Lord, I have started to walk in the light, shining upon me from heaven so bright. I bade the world and its follies adieu. I started with Jesus and I'm going through. Oh, I'm going through. Yes, I'm going through. Whatever Christ, whatever others do. Oh, I'll take the way with the Lord's despised view. Up with the pace. Oh, others accept it because it's something new, but not very many expect it to go through. I'm going through. Yes, I'm going through. I'll pay the price. Whatever others do, I'll take the way with the Lord's chosen few. I started in Jesus and I'm going through.
with Jesus alone. Have for a pillow like Jacob a stone. Living each moment with his face in view, then shrink from my pathway.
Satan a black eye. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why don't we stand as we're ready to take the tithes and the offering? Brothers, if you'd come. And we'll sing that song, Jesus, We're Depending on You. Key of F. Jeff, if you would.
This day that you've given us, Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for letting us be here this morning, Father. Father, I pray, Lord, that you just bless this service. I pray that you bless this offering. I pray that you bless the ones that can give, the ones that can't give, Father. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So get ready to turn the service to Brother Barry as he comes. Let's sing this. Jesus, we're depending on you. Yes, Jesus, we're depending on you.
Depending on you, yes, Jesus, we're depending. Hallelujah. Amen. And all God's people said, my hope is in the Lord. Let's sing that this morning. And then we'll look to him in prayer today. And we welcome all of you to the house of the Lord. Let's sing it together this morning.
My hope is in the Lord from this time on.
Father, we give thanks, Lord, for your mercies today, all you have provided and all you do. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that you would just take complete control of our spirits today, Lord, and just speak to the hearts of each one that are gathered here today and those that are listening. And Father, I pray that you would just move upon us in a special and a personal way. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Minister to those who are sick and those who have needs. We commit our entire day now into your hands, Lord. Pray you'd have complete control. We love you and we thank you, Lord, again for your tender mercies. And now we pray you would just bless and anoint the reading of the word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to ask you to just take your seats for a moment here, and we're going to do a couple of quick things, and then we'll come back to reading the word this morning. And I just want to do that separately this morning. So, if you will, let's bring up our PowerPoint here this morning, and we'll do birthdays first of all. July 6th is Isaac Clayville's birthday. Where is Isaac? Isaac, how old are you on your birthday today? 8 years old. God bless you. Haven Pritchard has a birthday today, right? How old? 9 years old, Haven. God bless you. July 8th is our anniversary, 41 years and thankful. It is also Wells Pritchard birthday. There he is. Bring him in. Bring him in, Ethan. Let him wave to the masses here. Here he is. Best year of his life, he said. He's an overcomer. And we're so thankful for Wells and for Ethan and Anna. And shake his hand when you see him today. July 10th is Cody Harwell's birthday, not here today. And it's his first also, so we are thankful for Cody. And it's also Wakash Javed's birthday every year. It's always a special thing to recognize Wakash. And he's certainly grown well over the years, and a special, special young man. Now, let me just very quickly, I want to just bring a couple of items here this morning. Speaking of the Javeds, Brother Anwar, they live in Queens, New York, and they have single-handedly continued to translate into the Urdu language and also coordinate distribution in Pakistan, printing and distribution. And Pakistan is the only native country where we print inside the country because it's so predominantly a Muslim country. We cannot ship materials into that country. So books are printed and distributed within that country, and they stay inside the borders there. But the believers love to receive the new books, so we're very thankful for Brother Anwar's good work there. Brother Aaron today is in South Africa, but this is some of the distribution that they did in Ethiopia before he left there, and the people were very happy to receive Bibles in one of their native languages over there. We're still working to try to get English Bibles into Ethiopia, and that's a problem. Jeremy, just turn me up a hair on this one here, if you don't mind. So this is Brother Aaron moved down into South Africa, met with Brother Tim Dodd, was at his house there in South Africa, and then went with some of the brothers to pick up Bibles in one of the South African languages there in the north part of South Africa. And they were also very happy to be receiving materials. Since Brother Aaron left on the trip, there was another church who heard this testimony of Brother Aaron going around South Africa, and they sent funds for more Bibles in different nations there. So this is what Aaron is doing, and he's taking those funds. Very often we match them and allow the believers there to get bunches of Bibles there, so we appreciate that. Now, I wanted to show you a little clip here, and this is going to be a video clip. We're going to do two video clips today. I guess I probably should have told somebody that. And so this next one's going to have singing on here, and the very first of it's really loud, Jeremy, so you want to just be ready for that, okay? Now, this is a church that I'm going to show you in Uganda, and they're out in the boondocks here. And this group in their facility, they were asked what they would like to have. If they could have anything in the world, what would they like to have? And they chose Bibles. They said, because the most difficult thing for us to get our hands on is Bibles. But when you think you're having a bad day, or maybe your pew is not comfortable enough, I need to show you their church and take note of their request. It was for Bibles here. So let's take a look here. So if you hit play on that one. They're in the boondocks. This is about 15 or 16 people that are in that church. And when they asked, what in the world would you like to have? How can we help you? They said, we'd like to have Bibles. And so we gave Brother James on Wednesday night, we gave him funds to be able to get Bibles to this particular church and also people who speak the same language there. So we're very thankful for that. Let's stand to our feet this morning and let's look to the Lord. Brother Gilchrist, good to have you here all the way from New Zealand. It's probably not the right time here now, right, for you. So he's the only one that's allowed to drift today. He's the only one. But we are grateful to have him today. Also, we're going to be doing a baptizing after the service today. Brother Cohen is going to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're just excited about that. And we appreciate him making that step this morning. Also, too, I wanted to mention that we are going to have no service on July 30th. And we're doing a complete upgrade of the sound here in the building. So they're going to be tearing all of this up. And that will happen on the last Wednesday of July. Okay? So you might want to make note of that. We'll remind you again. On that Saturday, we're going to have a seminar with Isaac LaFontaine, right? And everyone's invited to go to that. It's for tech people, basically. And you're looking at me funny. But we'll give you more details on that. But I think the draw for most people would be a free lunch. So if you're that'll be that Saturday that follows that Wednesday night on July 30th. Also as well, I wanted to mention that we are going to have a youth meeting this afternoon, and it will start at 4:30, not 5 o'clock, but 4:30 this afternoon. Now, this is not the Peter Sunday School class, which is from 13 to about 18 years old, but this is for all of our young people. Okay, so there's no age range if you're over 13 and up. And I would encourage all of you to be there because this is going to be an important discussion. And so if you fall in that age range this afternoon, 4:30 here at the church, right? And we would encourage all of you to be there. Last thing that I wanted to say, we're excited to have the males now moved over to Hickory, North Carolina. And Brother Jonathan is going to be starting his new job at Fry in the 1st of August. And so they've already moved house, already here in town, already a candidate for Wednesday night service. And we are thankful for the males very much so and look forward to having them around more. So may God bless you all. All right, Revelation chapter 13. And I'm going to ask you to take your Bible and read with me here because we're going to read more than just what's on the board. I didn't mention it's good to have the Hendershots here. God bless you. Always good to see you folks. And may God bless you. Revelation chapter 13. Now, this is the chapter that Brother Branham told us consistently from the beginning of his ministry to the end of his ministry. This details our nation, the nation of America. And I want to read verse 11, and I want you to follow closely here. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. So this is not some sort of a private deal now. This is not behind the scenes or somehow in the shadows, but this is in the sight of men. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them which dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. Sounds kind of like Goshen. You remember in the first Exodus, when the plagues fell, the first nine dealt with Egypt, but the last one dealt with the whole land, including Goshen, right? And this is what he's saying here in verse 16, that this final act of this beast here causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. So everybody's going to be involved here. And that no man might buy or sell, save, here's the exception, he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the, or sorry, And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. May the Lord add his blessing. You may be seated tonight. There's nothing like a controversial subject to get us going. And so I want to draw your attention this morning to this rather unusual title. 5 years ago, I dealt with this subject briefly, and I want to reach back a little bit, but I want to update us on where we are today in this subject. And you'll see why as we go on here very shortly. This is a subject that all of us need to be aware of because, as the Bible says, it affects everybody on the earth. These last time, end time events here affect everybody on the earth. So you all need to be listening. And I would say this because we're so full here today, minimize your movements. If you got to go, you got to go. But minimize your movements here and slip back in and stay with me here. I've got a lot more than what I can cover today, and I'm not going to try to run the marathon. I'll try to be sensitive to our time. But this is something that I wanted to mention just at the beginning here, that as Brother Branham teaches in the book of Revelation, he says this is the only book that Christ put his seal upon. And there's a blessing also upon reading the book of Revelation. And if Satan hates any book in the Bible, it's the Revelation. He hates all scripture, but if anything he despises mostly is Revelation and Genesis, because Genesis tells the beginning. So Genesis unveils the origin, and Revelation tells the destiny. So Satan really hates this, and he really fights this. Revelation reveals what's going to happen in the last day, and going to be bound 1,000 years, and then the false prophet and the beast is going to be thrown alive into the lake of fire and so on. So this is what Satan is going, if he's going to confuse anyone's understanding, he's going to confuse this particular part of the Bible, which is the last part because it talks about his ending. And he's always trying to get people off the right side and onto the wrong side. That's his job. That's his work that he does. And the book of Revelation, Brother Branham says, has more symbols than all the rest of the books in the Bible because it is a book of prophecy. And therefore, it has to be understood by a prophetic class. Say that with me, prophetic class. This book is not meant for everybody. The book, the understanding of this book is not meant for everybody. How many would agree? There's nobody can understand it hardly. And this book is made for a certain class of people. And then in Deuteronomy 26:26, he says, the hidden things belong to the Lord, but the secret things are revealed unto us. And he said he reveals to us, his children, the hidden things. So remember now, like I've said many times before, God does not hide things from us, but he hides things for us. And he hid things for us in the last day. And he has certain things that he wanted us to know who are this prophetic class. And I think that should make you feel a little special this morning, that you're under the hearing of the word, because God knows you're a member of the prophetic class. I was going to say it's good to see the Parks back. I never noticed you until now. Good to have you back with us again. So this book is not, it's still a mystery. It's still hidden or veiled to lots and lots of the vast majority of people on the earth. So when they read it, they would read it and come out with a different understanding than you and I have. But it's one of those books that it's vital to have the pieces come together and make things very clear. And they do when you have the help of a prophet that helps us understand what the symbols actually are. We've had Elijah's garments and Elijah's robes and impersonators of last day ministries. And John Alexander Dowie, who was the father of early Pentecostalism in the 1800s, and where he's buried up there in the robes, all kinds of things that were told about Dowie and said he was Elijah. And it's only, Brother Branham said, what is that? It's only to take away a truth that's going to be presented. So this is the classic smokescreen that Satan throws out there. When God's going to do something, Satan's going to throw a smokescreen out there to have everybody confused and disoriented, right? Well, we're going to run after Dowie, or we're going to run after, Bartleman on Azusa Street, or we're going to run after this, or we're going to run after that one. And so Satan's good at that. They had false Christ before Jesus' time, and they always do that. It's Satan running out a counterfeit to upset the minds. And remember, that's his territory, right? That's his territory, to upset the minds and the faith of the people before the thing actually happens. So I can tell you that Satan is working on your mind as well as the minds of lots of people to try to understand something incorrectly or out of balance or something that's out of sequence. He's trying to do that continually, and I believe he's at work even now doing that, but it's only a counterfeit because the real is in attendance. There would not be a counterfeit if there wasn't a real close by. But there, because there is a real, because there is a truth, then Satan's running a counterfeit now to upset people's minds. And as a result of that, we have all kinds of interpretations that float around today. And now we have the beauty of the internet to promote all of the conspiracy theories that are out there. You know, the people that begin conspiracy theories and publish them had them before the internet ever came. But now they have a forum. Now they have a stage, right? And so now everybody's got to hear it. It's too bad, but that's what's happening today. Again, another statement here, and I'm going to read some stuff, but I'm going to get graphic on you. In this last day, Brother Branham said, the Bible predicted to be a time when men would receive a mark of the beast. Now, everybody focuses on this particular part of it, the mark of the beast, but that's really a consequence of rejecting the seal of God. So we need to know what the seal of God is, because the mark is a rejection of the seal, right? And so, but because of media and because of books that have been written and all the rest of it, it's more exciting and it's you know, a little darker to talk about the mark of the beast here. So let's read on. Every time a little something flies up in the country, oh, that's the mark of the beast. And I'd got ordained in the Baptist church and I heard about the NRA and everybody said, that's the mark of the beast. And it is. No, I'm only really kidding here. The NRA has been around since 1878, and they have been saying that the NRA is the cause of the mark of the beast since then, and that was an issue in Brother Branham's day. And they say, well, here comes Russia down, communism, it's the mark of the beast. But it's a lie. The Bible tells what the mark of the beast is. So here's Brother Branham now. He's doing exactly what I'm doing this morning, and that is we live in a world that abounds with all kinds of ideas and all kinds of theories and all kinds of conspiracies about what the truth is. But here's Brother Branham bringing us back to the Bible every time. Somebody ought to holler, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glad we got an absolute, because we got to come back to that every time in order to really fully understand what's going on here. Otherwise, you're going to get confused. I'll guarantee you, you'll never be able to Google enough to be able to find the truth on this matter. And I would advise you not to Google on this subject because it is a nut house out there. It is absolutely crazy land when it comes to this particular subject. And so Brother Branham is very good at telling us what it's not. So let's make sure we understand this. The spirit of Antichrist is not new. This is not something that just came into church ages. It's been all along. And yet he cites, Brother Branham cites, and I'm going to show you some books that are written that are saying, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And he's telling us, hey, it's not new at all. It's been here right from the very beginning, right from the Garden of Eden. Now, before we go any farther, I want you to look at this scripture here. And if you don't know this one, you should. All that the Father has given me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which he sent, which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I shall lose nothing. Say nothing. Amen. But should raise it up again at the last day. And so therefore, it's really important for this to keep in mind because, you know, sometimes people have different ideas. And I will tell you this, I'm going to show you why we're talking about this today. But I want you to understand that as we go farther down the road towards the end, this is going to get worse. This subject's going to get a lot worse and you need to be real clear in your mind and able to give a simple answer for this question. Well, what is the mark of the beast? And you need to give a real clear, simple answer for that. So, first of all, but in my research, and I spent a lot of hours this week researching this particular subject, I went to my Christian friend, AI, and asked her, and I think it's a her, it's probably an it, but I'm not going to go there. But I asked her, what is the mark of the beast? And here was the answer. Recent breakthroughs in medical RFID technologies, stop, that's an implant. That's a chip implanted, have increased interest in the mark of the beast spoken of in Revelation chapter 13. It is important to realize having a medical or financial microchip inserted into your right hand or forehead is not the mark of the beast. Mrs. AI has more sense than a lot of other people in this world. I don't tell you to go there as an absolute because you absolutely cannot do that. But I'm telling you, she's got a lot of, she makes a lot of sense in these. I'm amazed. The mark of the beast will be something giving only to those who worship the Antichrist. The mark of the beast will be an end times identification required by the Antichrist in order to buy or sell, and it will be given only to those who worship the Antichrist. I mean, Mrs. AI has more sense than a lot of people in this world, I think, because a lot of people in this world believe some really wacky and weird things. And I don't want you to believe wacky and weird things. I want you to know the truth here. And Brother Branham assures us that the Bible gives us that truth. So let's proceed. Now, as I studied this, I found Brother Branham often interchanging the word cult and culture. Cultured and civilization. And he often would interchange the words. That intrigued me. And I wondered about that. So I went back to look at the origin of the word cult. And this is what I found. Cult shares an origin with culture and cultivate. Now, this is from Webster's Dictionary, okay? And it comes from the Latin cultus, meaning training, education, and adoration. So people who are in a cult, by our understanding, would be someone who has been cultivated, they've been trained, they've been educated about a certain theory, and they worship that, they adore that, right? They go too far in an extreme to worship something that they're taught. It may or may not be true, but they've gone too far. The earliest known uses of the word recorded in the 17th century broadly denoted worship. So the word cult referred to a kind of worship. Now, worship out of balance and a worship that's wrong, but that's where it was. And from here, cult came to be referred to a specific branch of religion or rites and practices of that branch. So there, when you go to Ireland, there's a Celtic worship that goes on there. And it really has a dark past. They worship in ways that we certainly would not. And so there are different references here. And finally, by the 19th century, the word came to be used of a religion regarded as unorthodox or spurious. So the words very often will shift based on culture. And this is what the definition is talking about. Here's what this paragraph is talking about. And so when Brother Branham came along, he often referred to the word cult as the same as culture and mixed up to two. So when you read this in the message, if you research this in the message, and I would encourage you to do that, you will find references here, but they were not far apart in the original meaning of the word. Okay, just dropping that in. That's a little bonus there. That's free and on the house. Now, this is also not foreign to the Christian church, because you got to realize that when Paul came out and established the early church, that was very, very different than the established church of the day. So there were lots of heathen religions that existed in the days of the early church, and there were Jews who had synagogues, and they had a very established way of worship. Now, Paul comes along and he says, now we believe the law, but we believe the law has been fulfilled to allow us, for instance, to be justified and stand as though we had never sinned in the first place, and we don't offer sacrifices. Now we worship God in spirit and in truth. And so his worship was very different than the Jews. It was also very different than the world around him. And as a result of that, when he stood in front of Augustus back there in the book of Acts, he said, this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they, the people of this world, and especially the Jews, they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things that are written in the law and in the prophets. So this is not strange that people would look at us and say, my goodness, you guys are different. You're not Trinitarians, neither are you oneness, and you're not two-ness. You're not like Jehovah Witness. You're not people who... You're not people who don't enjoy life, but you're people who live without TVs. And you live without tattoos. And you live without other things that everybody else seems to have. And you're different. And people would classify us as different. And this is what Brother Branham says. Oh, you can argue with Paul when he's getting ready to be beheaded and he uses the scripture. And I join with him tonight. Amen, Paul. The way that's called heresy, crazy, that's the way I worship God. With the people called crazy people. That's your new name. Acts up, cuts up, screams, hollers, believes in divine healing, the power of the resurrection and things. That's the kind of people that I worship with. How many would agree? You don't need to be afraid of that. You don't need to be afraid of that. As the Christian church has always been called heretical all the way down since the beginning of the early church in Paul's day. And so there are people on the outside who look at us because we are not in the established order of our day. We don't fit within that confine. And therefore, they would call us heretics, and they call us, outliers and all the rest of it. Don't worry about that. That, in a sense, it's kind of a compliment that they don't recognize you as being a part of those that worship inside the box. Okay? All right. So these are just some facts I want you to hold on to here as we go through this. Everybody all right? Okay. Now, Israel and the church. Now, watch your dates on these quotes here, because you're going to see a progression here as we go through. Brother Branham said, all these cults and uprisings and isms today. Now, Brother Branham said back then in that day they had 600 or 700 of denominations. Now we have Brazilians of them. Brazilians of them. He said every one of them were written in Genesis, where it had its beginning, but it's just got another name. So the same things that popped up in Genesis and began to be manifested are the same things that are happening here. They're just called different things. They're cloaked a different way. But the devil hasn't changed. He's still the devil. And he's still messing things up the same way he did in the Garden of Eden. But watch the working of the Spirit, small s, in that day. And watch how it's working today. And you'll see the same thing. That spirit that rose up there in Cain down through Ham. Now remember, Cain had some sense of worship in that he put all of his fruits and made things look beautiful and set up the altar to impress God. And by those works, you know, he thought he would gain God's favor and blessing. And so Cain had an idea of how to worship. And then comes Abel and worships the way that he does. But there was a spirit that rose up there in Cain down through Ham, Nimrod through the ark, out to Nimrod into Babylon, out of Babylon in the days of the coming of Jesus, and then, of course, right through the new church and right out until today. Now, we just read in Revelation chapter 13 about a portion of the description of the end of all of this. So where it began is in the book of Genesis, but it works all the way down through, and it's like a trail of a serpent all the way down through to the very end, and God judges it and judges it finally and forever, and then it's gone. But it is a part of the world we live in and will be a part of the world we live in until we're gone. And I will tell you and assure you that it'll get worse, because a lot of people in our world don't know the difference. So Brother Branham said all this stuff rose back, way back there in the beginning, and he said it carries on down to today. Now watch what he says now. Teachers, Bible students, they fail to recognize the Lord Jesus Christ. Polished scholars, holy men, religious, knowing the word, they know their Bible, and it's moving right out today in a terrible force all around. So this same spirit that moved all the way from Genesis till now, it's moving out in a terrible force. You know why? Because it's got to bring everybody under its control in the last day. Everybody. Because you're not going to be able to buy or sell unless you have this mark. So it has to have an incredible, powerful amount of control over the people of this world who come under this system whether they want to or not. And that's the way it's going to wind up. But what do they? What Brother Branham identifies, these are teachers, Bible students. These are not people unfamiliar with the Bible, but they failed to recognize the Lord Jesus Christ. Hang on to that. It's moving today in a terrible force all around. So it behooves you, brother and sister, to consider what you're listening at. And don't you never underestimate Satan's power for deceiving. Don't you never underestimate him. He's smooth as he can be. And the Antichrist spirit isn't communism. It's so close, like the real thing, to little deceive the very elect. Dare I say, therefore, it's not going to be Pentecostalism that's going to trip up any of us. It's not going to be modern day Pentecost that's going to trip up any of us. It's neither going to be Lutheranism or Episcopalianism. It's not going to be Hinduism. Neither is it going to be doctrines of the Muslim faith that are going to hinder us. Because we can clearly see there's a lot of things that I've mentioned that are outside the confines of the Word of God. Then therefore, Satan's most effective tool is going to have to be something from within. Dare I say it? All through time, we've had people who wanted to identify who the Antichrist was. And had it figured out that this must be it, because there can't be anything more evil. There can't be anything more deadly, more destructive in the earth than these personalities here. And they thought, wow, we've reached that point. We finally got to this place. And even today, there's lots of people that believe that, you know, there's a computer system that will ultimately have control over you. Remember, a computer is only a tool. Right? And then, of course, when Obamacare came along and people were mistrusting of that, one of the main reasons was they thought the FDA was going to allow, in order, with a motive of protecting your health, to insert a chip in there, a microchip in there, and you'd be able to go in and put your hand on the scanner and, you know, it'd read your condition and all the rest of it there. And lots of people labeled that. This is June 2014, labeled that the Antichrist. Brother Bram said, now religion, he said, that is Satan's business, not to kill the whole thing, but just contaminate it. He ain't going to kill the whole thing. So, all right, let's apply that in our context here. Satan is not going to try to do away with the message, or Brother Bram, he's not going to try to do away with that. He's just going to contaminate it enough where it's you've got a perverted understanding. You've got a twisted understanding, right? So believe me, he's not going to try to say, well, there was no William Branham, there was no prophet. Other people are trying to do that and it hasn't worked. Right? So don't worry about that. That's not what he's going to say. But he's going to contaminate. He's going to spoil the waters. And he says, oh no, communists, no. He said, Antichrist is not communism. The Bible said it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. Don't notice the iron curtain, but notice the purple one. And I will tell you that you should not be deceived by things that you don't hear from Rome. Even though the Pope is on vacation now for 2 months. 2 months! Hello? He's on vacation for 2 months, and it seems like, you know, there's not much happening. Everybody got all excited because we had an American Pope and nothing much seemingly has happened. And people must be thinking, well, huh, so what? But he's on vacation for 2 months! And I'm just saying that you should be not lulled asleep by what's not coming out of Rome. Don't you worry at all. The wheels of prophecy are grinding and grinding slowly but surely, let me tell you. We don't have enough time. Now, then it moved on to Walmart. And Walmart became the author of the Mark of the Beast here and putting an RFID in there for better shopping and wanting to use a hand scanner here. I mean, there was no end to the theories and the ideas. And then, of course, when COVID hit and people didn't want to have cash in their stores anymore, that set off all kinds of things. And there always have been all kinds of things here, but I thought this was interesting that the Mark of the Beast here was a translation of what the Star of David actually was. I don't believe that's true. Now, stop for a minute here, Jeremy. We need volume on this one right from the beginning, okay? Now, I'm going to let you hear a little clip, and this is Billy Graham, okay? I'm going to let you hear, now listen closely, it's only about 60 seconds here, but I want you to listen to what he says. This is Billy Graham, all right, everybody ready? Say amen. Amen. Ready? Okay.
How we got too relaxed with prayer. My family, we live in a time where everything is designed to make life easier. We've got smart devices that obey our voice, apps that bring food to our doorstep, and even church services we can stream while lying on the couch. It's a world of comfort. And while comfort isn't a bad thing, it becomes dangerous when it starts to affect our relationship with God. Somewhere along the way, that comfort began.
Welcome to AI. That's not Billy Graham. Neither was their DoorDash invented in Billy Graham's day. Neither was their streaming in Billy Graham's day to lie on the couch and listen to a service. Now, I know this doesn't happen to any of you. But there was no DoorDash. And he said, now we have apps that bring food to our door. This is a purely, 100% generated voice of Billy Graham because somebody taught AI how to talk like Billy Graham. Make one small step for mankind over into the realm of the message. Play it again. Jeremy, play it again. Listen to it. Now that you know who this is, listen to it again.
How we got too relaxed with prayer. My family, we live in a time where everything is designed to make life easier. We've got smart devices that obey our voice, apps that bring food to our doorstep, and even church services we can stream while lying on the couch. It's a world of comfort. And while comfort isn't a bad thing, it becomes dangerous when it starts to affect our relationship with God. Somewhere along the way, that comfort began. How?
There's a whole sermon. Don't look. There's a whole sermon of that Billy Graham teaching. Somebody sent it to me. And I was thinking, there are already people who are experimenting as we speak with making Brother Branham's voice an AI-generated voice in every language on earth. And I will tell you, I'm very, very concerned about that. I'm not in favor of that at all. But technology now is obviously useful for many things. Obviously useful for many things. AI is useful for many things. But now you're going to need more than just head knowledge to be able to work your way through the last of the last, because Satan is piling everything on with the intent to deceive you. And that's why, that's one of the reasons why this is important. That's reason number one why it's important here. Now, if there was ever a threat to your privacy, this is probably it more than anything else, and that's the real ID. And that's why they've been pushing so hard for this. And there are lots of people who are convinced immediately that the real ID is the mark of the beast here. Now, the real ID, your driver's license, if it's a real ID, it has lots and lots and lots of information about you there. And, you didn't vote for that. You didn't ask for that. But it has lots of information about you there. And nowadays, you can't fly unless you have a real ID or a passport that has all kinds of other information about you as well. And this is really important. But back a couple of years ago, this was found in the Porterfield Register Herald. This is a quote. If we as Christians comply with the Real ID Act, if we comply with this, we would be enrolled into a global system of identification that directly links our body through biometrics to our ability to buy or sell, said Philip Hudak, who told the Senate Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. That's how high of a level this argument went, to committee level in the U.S. House. And this is amazing how people feel like if we buy into this and we allow this, then we're absolutely falling into the system of 666. And we're not going to be able to buy and sell. Now, this is only one of the ways that you're tied to the system here. And obviously, I know I have your attention at the moment here. This gets really interesting because technologies are developing. Even as I do this sermon this morning, a lot of the things I talk about technologically are already out of date. Because it's happening so fast, it'll make your head spin. I will tell you this, you're not going to beat this by knowing enough about technology or trying to stay ahead of it. That's not how it's going to happen. You're going to need a revelation, and you're going to need quickening power to take your body out of here faster than a microchip. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. I was in Idaho a couple of weeks ago. I was in Phoenix a couple of weeks before that. I've been everywhere in the last month. And it's just absolutely amazing at the size, the enormity of these plants that are being built in Peoria and in Idaho, in Boise. which is a mispronunciation of Boise, the capital of Idaho. And it's just amazing how big these great, enormous plants are that are being built to build microchips. Because they don't want other nations to be supplying us with microchips. They want to do it here. And these plants are as big as small towns. I mean, they're just absolutely incredible. And the thing that holds them back more than anything else is power consumption, which is another conversation altogether. But it's amazing because so much can be done inside these little tiny chips that are out there that they don't trust foreign governments really to have control over them. That's why they're being made here in the United States now. And so there are real security concerns that are evident all over the country. And I will tell you something: you're not going to stay ahead of this whole thing by technology, by more technology, and your knowledge of technology. That's not how it's going to happen. You know what you need to have? You need to have your hand in the hand of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because he's faster than all of it. Now, Brother Branham said this great subject that we're approaching, and he deals with this in the sermon, The Mark of the Beast. And if you haven't read that in a while, you ought to read it. He said this great subject that we're approaching has certainly caused great controversy. And everybody said, I believe it's such a great vital part of the scripture, we should not leave any of it out. So that's why we're dealing with this. And God spoke through the scriptures about the mark of the beast and how it was to appear in the last day. And there's been many thoughts projected. And everybody said, there's still many thoughts projected, many more now because of the internet. Thoughts projected to the people concerning this vital God-sent message, warning to the church. So there's lots of ideas out there. Now stay with me. Here's the second reason why we need to talk about this. In Revelation chapter 14 and verse 9, and the third angel, read it in your Bible, or follow me here, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image. So this now is every, listen, this is everyone on earth outside of the bride. Are we okay? Because we just read that in Revelation 13. He causeth all who don't have the seal of God to worship the beast and his number and so forth and can't buy or sell. So this is everyone outside of the bride. Now watch what happens here. If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or his hand, that the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture. In other words, it's not watered down. It's not diluted. It's poured out without mixture. This is the pure, total wrath of God, poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. God's going to watch. He's not going to rescue. He's going to assure. Listen to me. If you've been baptized in the last year, I need you to listen to me. I can assure you he's watching, not rescuing. Because we're in the book of Revelation here after grace is lifted for the Gentiles. And he's not throwing a lifeline to these people. Look what it says. He pours out, tormented with fire and brimstone, in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image and whoever receiveth the mark of his name. I do not want to receive that mark. Amen. I want to have the seal of God. I don't want to have the mark of the beast. That's reason number two. Number one, as we mentioned back here, number two, that the wrath of God in its pure form, in its absolute pure devastating form, is going to be poured out without an exit. And you don't want to be there. All right, now follow me now what I'm going to tell you. Now I'm going to tell you what I think the mark of the beast is and what I think the scripture supports the mark of the beast to be, and I'm going to tell you what I think the scripture supports the seal of God. And we know that the world is gripped by these two things now, the mark of the beast or the seal of God. It's one or the other, and that's where the battle rages, and that's why you might have had a bad week. And that's why we may have continued to have bad weeks, because Satan is trying to pull you to the wrong side. Some of them places it way, some people places it way over in the future, and some say it's already been in the past, it's over. But I believe that's just two answers to it, and that is that the seal of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the mark of the beast is rejecting it. Here's a prophet now, he's speaking to us. There's two things that he wants to say here, and that is the seal of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the mark of the beast is rejecting it. And that's the only two things. You're going to be marked by one or the other. Now, all the peoples, I need you to say this with me, all the peoples, say it again, all the peoples. Now, that would include you, because this is like being the last plague of the first Exodus. This is everybody, including those that lived in Goshen. All the peoples of the earth in the last day is either going to be sealed by the seal of God or marked by the mark of the beast. They're either going to have the token on display or they're going to have the mark of the beast, one or the other. Now, Brother Branham explains it even better in the fourth seal, because he deals with this. He deals with it in the second seal, and he deals with it in the fourth seal. And I want you to listen to what he says. There's one screen. Watch what he says. I believe in speaking in tongues. All these other things are all right, but that just in itself won't work. You know it won't work. Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, and so forth, Paul writes. So those things don't mean that you have the Holy Spirit. You know what that means? You're in a place where the Holy Spirit's being poured out. Because you can be in a place where the Holy Spirit's being poured out, and you can respond like a believer under those conditions, but that doesn't mean that you're a believer. Now, if you've been baptized in the last year, I need you to really pay close attention here. Because some people do believe that getting baptized is, number one, a get-out-of-jail card. So I can live whatever way I want to, but be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I die or die suddenly, I'm going to be okay because God's going to take me, I'm baptized. And you know what? I understand why people say that. I just can't find it in the Bible. As a matter of fact, I can show you quotes where Brother Branham says the opposite. That's not true. And there are people who believe that, well, if I'm baptized, then God's going to take over my life and I don't really need to worry about anything. God's going to change me. God's going to mold me and so on. So they wind up living exactly the same worldly life with the same worldly attitudes and the same worldly desires as they always had. And to look at those people and look at them without being a judge, because we're taught not to be judges here. But Brother Branham said, you see afterwards, you know, people, there's no amendment of life. There's no change at all. They're still, you know, they're still involved in the world and the things of the world and still listen to worldly music, still wear makeup. They got splits in their skirts that are absolutely shameful. And they dress in certain ways that are contrary, absolutely contrary to holiness. And there's no conviction. There seems to be, there's no amendment. And when you say something, who are you to say something? And that attitude rises up, kind of like what's rising up here. But I'll tell you what, saints of God, I'm not afraid because I know exactly where I'm standing. Amen. I know exactly what I'm saying this morning. Amen. And I'm going to read you the second paragraph here because I'll let a prophet say it instead of me just saying it. But when he, the person, the immortal Spirit of Christ, becomes your personal Savior, changes you, and throws your views straight into Calvary, amen, to this word, then something's happened. No one will have to tell you about it. You'll know it when it happens. Amen. I would rather have one person baptized in that way than 50 people who did it because everybody else was doing it. And I'm not suggesting that you people who have been baptized recently are doing it because everybody else did it. I certainly hope not. But I will tell you this. You can be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, feel like you got to get out of jail card, and realize, you know what? Unless there's an amendment of life, I have a right to question that. I, meaning me, the person, I have a right to question that. And what you should do is look in the mirror of the Word and say, Lord, how has my life changed? I was talking to Colin this morning, and I talk about this to lots of other people, that, you know, once you're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the promise is that you would receive what? The Holy Ghost. And that's something that only God can give. If I could give it to you, I would, but I can't. I can baptize you and he can repent, but the promise is that we would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? And that is his life in me, living itself out, an encounter with God that turns my thinking towards Calvary. You know what? You know what Calvary would have been? It would have been a shock if you were standing there at the foot of the cross and you realize Jesus was an innocent man and he took my sin upon him and he was nailed to the cross, brutally nailed and beat up and scourged and his ribs broken and all the other things, or, you know, ripped open there, and all of the blood and the sounds and the evil that's present there. And you would have looked at that and you would have been in shock, like most of the other disciples that were standing right there, in absolute shock. Thinking, wow, my sins caused him to do that for me. My sinfulness and my sinful nature put Jesus on the tree because he loved me. Because he loved me. It would cause you to have a sense of repentance, wouldn't it? Lord, I'm sorry I put you there. Lord, forgive me for putting you there. Lord, have mercy on me for putting you on this cross. And I deserve to die that death, but I did not. You did. And you came and took my place as a goel, and you took my place on the cross. And that blood should be my blood. That pain should be my pain. That agony should be my agony. But Lord, you did it. And when your mind is thrown into thinking like Calvary, that's the way it would think. But the second thing your mind is affected by is the Word. He said, because it changes you and throws your views straight into the Word. Aha! Now that's kind of easily identifiable, isn't it? Because the Word says that a woman shouldn't cut her hair. And the Word says that we should live in modesty. Right? Because without holiness we'll not see the Lord. Doesn't the Bible say that we should go to church? Doesn't the Bible say that we should, worship together, even the more so as we see the day approaching? Doesn't it say that? Doesn't it say that we should pay our tithes? Says all those things. Doesn't it say over and over and over again to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Amen. Not seek the trophy. Not seek the scholarship. Hello? Not seek anything else, but seek first the kingdom of God. Not to come here to seek a wife, not to come here to seek a husband, not to seek anything else, but to seek first the kingdom of God and to put God first. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. I am the Lord, and there are no other gods beside me. We put God first. He's on top. He's number one. That's it. There's no question. We put him right there, and that's the way he's got to be. God forbid that any of you young girls or any of you young boys would marry a boy or a girl who does not put God first. Because if they don't put God first before they're married, it ain't likely they're going to put God first after they get married. Because marriage doesn't change anyone. It only changes your last name or the size of your credit card bill. That's all that it does. It does not change that person at all. It's not going to have an unbeliever walk up here and a believer walking back down there. And despite your efforts that you think, I'll change him after we're married, you are laughing and whistling in the graveyard. That is not true. I'm counseling people now who are struggling with that very fact, who have been married years, not anyone here, years and years of being married and realizing, I can't change him, I can't change her. And the frustrations that they feel and the things they go through, it's just absolutely incredible. It's absolutely amazing. But here's what Brother Branham, here's the lifeline he throws. Everybody with me? Here's a lifeline he throws out to us as believers. When he, the person, the immortal spirit of Christ becomes your personal savior, it changes you and it throws your views, your thinking, your attitudes, your values and everything else, throws it into Calvary with a spirit of repentance and sorrow, and it throws it into this Word so that we have a guideline that God can give to us here. Something's happened and no one will have to tell you about it. You don't need to be convinced to go to church. You don't need to be convinced that, I need to do what's right. I don't need to have my arm twisted to pay my tithes. I don't have to be, I don't know what else the pastor's got to do to get people to sew up the slits in their skirt. I'm not really sure what else we need to do. Hey, you know what? In my understanding of things, the Holy Ghost within you should be convicting you about it before you even get here. Is anyone unclear? I might be old-fashioned, but you know what? People will say, watch what he says now. Now you see what the mark of the beast is. It's a mark of apostasy. It's a person who just thinks, well, I belong to the church. I'm just as good as the next fellow. And you realize when your church organization that you're depending on, do you realize where it came from? Do you realize that you can sit here and have a denominational attitude or a denominational spirit right in this church? Because I will tell you something, the Antichrist is not working on the Baptists and the Pentecostals and all the rest of them. He's working right here within the confines of our four walls and the message community all over the world. And I got documentation. I could show you stuff that would make your hair stand on end this morning. And the stuff that's going on, the stuff that's happened to you, let me tell you, it's not what Brother Branham taught. Just like when you hear Billy Graham like that, it's convincing. You think it's Billy Graham. And you think, well, you know, that must be what he taught. That's not what he taught at all. And yet, if you look at it on the surface, and there's a lot of people who, this is somebody on the surface who would say, well, I belong to church. I belong to HBT. My mother and father always came here. And I'm pretty good. I'm a pretty good guy on the curve. I never smoked, drank, worn a tattoo, or hit anybody really hard. And so, you know what? I'm pretty good. I'm in pretty good shape. On the curve, I'm compared to everybody else out there. I'm pretty good. And I'm warning you, and I'm telling you, you just can't think that way. You can't think that way and be secure in the eyes of God. Because security in the eyes of God comes from one place and one place only. And that means this, not that you have a gift, not that you go to a camp meeting, not that you've been around spiritual people, but you have a real new birth. This is the quote I just read. And when the immortal spirit becomes your personal savior, this is a thing between you and God. It's not this, it's this. Somebody say amen. It's this right here, my relationship with God, not this. But I've always come to church. Great. You need to come to Christ. Amen. You need to be sure you're one with Christ and you have a relationship with Him. Amen. So you guys, you and you girls that have been baptized over the last year, we had a lot of young people that have been baptized. You know, you just gotta understand, and we're gonna talk about this personally, we're gonna talk about it more with you guys. But you have to understand that this is true here. And we're talking about real things. We're talking about real important things here that when we come down to what is seemingly close by, and that is the end of things, you're not going to be able to say, stop, I need to make this right and make that right. God's given you that warning today. God's given you those warnings today. And you need to really think about this before you put your head on the pillow tonight. Can I go just a shade further? Brother Branham, speaking on the mark of the beast, don't you believe that'll be a tattoo in your hand or your head, a tattoo, something on your hand? Don't you believe that? No, sir. Don't never look for that. It'll be a boycott, certainly. No man could buy or sell unless he belongs to the Confederation of Churches. That's true. It'll come like a union. Huh? Huh? I mentioned that a couple of months ago. How that unions never really went anywhere. And Brother Branham's not saying that churches or denominations will become unions, but he said they will be union-like. They'll kind of unionize the thing. Now, if you belong to a union, you have a shop steward, right? So if you have a complaint, you go through the shop steward, and then he has a process he goes through, and we do what's called collective bargaining, and we negotiate with the owners of the company and the management and so forth, and there's a process, right? You folks that are in business, you understand about how unions work, but you know, you can't do anything outside the union. You pay a fee to be in the union, get the benefits of what the union wins on your behalf, but you're inside the union. You can't. Hey, listen, if you know anything at all about our history here, you can't work outside of being in the union if this place has a union working. I spent 16 years pastoring in Logan, Ohio. Next door to us was a little town called New Straitsville. New Straitsville was the birthplace of the AFL-CIO, American Federation of Labor, and the something CIO. Don't remember what it is. And in that town where that union actually began, which is a very powerful union, this town is a really small town, They had a unionized working group there that worked the mines. And they had all kinds of people who were there, and they were treated very poorly, and they went on strike, and they tried to get better wages, better conditions, and so forth, because it was very dangerous, and it was very terrible conditions, and many of those miners died. So the union was formed. They formed a loose union in order to get some benefits from the company. That's not a bad thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. But the company responded this way and said, well, if you guys want to go on union, we're going to bring in workers. And they brought in busloads, trainloads of workers from the southern states to come in and work in the Ohio mines along the Ohio River. And when they did, the people who had the jobs who were now on strike, they didn't like that at all. And they waited until the mines were full with these workers from outside. And when they did, all the new men were down in the mine shafts. They took train carts, filled them with bales of hay, lit them on fire, and sent them inside the mines. Because they were seams of coal, those mines exploded, and all of those workers died. As a result of that, they say that some of those seams of coal are still burning, and you can draw hot water from the wells around Nelsonville, Ohio. Being a part of a union is, you know, people may think, oh, wow, I work for Starbucks. I get $12 an hour instead of $11.50. Brother Branham is saying that they're going to come to a place where they're going to unionize the thing and bring it down to unionize religion. I'm just telling you what he said. Mark my word. This is, by the way, 71 years ago in 1954. He says, mark my word, it ain't far off. And you'll see it. She's just around the corner. Pause for emphasis. It'll make you think. It'll really make you think. Brother Branham said both marks are spiritual. A lot of people thought, well, they're going to go around, tattoo something in your forehead. We found out last night, he said, that's a lie. That's wrong. It's a spiritual mark. It's just hid. And if it's hid, God's going to have to reveal it to you. That's why you need to have a relationship with Christ. I was listening to a radio broadcast. Won't be long until the people's going to get a great tattooing machine. So this is the conspiracy of his day. I'm not going to be much longer. And they're going to tattoo it across your forehead and picture of the beast going to market in his hand, and all that receives that mark will be doomed forever. Whoever joins the NRA is sure to receive it. Found out that wasn't so. It's got to come from thus saith the Lord. So it's got to come from the Word. And many people have placed it over to a day that's yet to come. But for myself, I believe it began the same day the Holy Spirit fell. Here's one of the books here that was written, and it says the mark of the beast is coming. That's the title of the book. It's a Christian book, and lots of, you know, Christian bookstores carry this book here. And they say it's going to be one day. He said it's already come. As soon as the Holy Ghost began to fall, the mark of the beast began to take place. So what about if it is as close as that? If it's as close as God demonstrating his presence, his power, revealing his word in a church like ours, delivering people, healing people, proving his presence, unveiling himself through his word, and you're sitting there saying, I don't have to do that. I don't have to listen to that. I do what I want. I don't have to pay my tithes. I don't have to go to church. You've heard all of it before. And if that becomes then a rejection of what God is handing to us, and you know what? This is not way off somewhere in some Vatican office buried in obscurity in Italy. This is right here. I said, this is right here. And what's going on between those two ears really matters. And your attitudes are not going to count in that day when all of this goes down. Your attitudes are not going to save you. Your associations with this church are not going to save you. When all of that goes down, it's going to be a done deal. Now, Brother Bram said that The good news is the gospel. To reject, to hear the gospel, your ears are sealed up that you'll always call it fanaticism or something like that. And you'll be serving sin in forms of godliness as long as you live. Notice what he says. You'll be serving sin in forms of godliness as long as you live. What a tragedy to be actually sinning with a form of godliness as long as you live. Believing that going through the religious motions is going to be okay. And, you know, baptized, been in the meetings, go to the camps, do this, do something else, you know, and marry a good Christian girl, raise a family and all that rest of it. And he says you can be serving sin in forms of godliness as long as you live. And he's telling us no matter how religious you are, you're sealed off in the presence of God. This goes back to the book of Leviticus in the year of Jubilee, right? When they heard the gospel trumpet, the trumpet that set them free. And they were free to go back to their kinfolk and their country and their people. But if they rejected the trumpet, they had a hole bored in their ear. And they were marked forever. They could never go free. And Brother Bram's taken that principle and he's bringing it right out here to us to understand that this is exactly what's taking place. Last screen I'm going to give you here. People, no one wants to die. No one wants to be lost. You should go to church and keep on going to church. But whatever you do, throw away your traditions and move on up into HBT. That's not what he says. Move on up into Christ. I would say you should move on up into the Word. Right? Move on up into Christ. And begin to look at this in a new way. I hope I've inspired somebody here today to look at the Word in a new way and say, my hope is in the Lord. My trust is in the Lord. My hope is in that. And the promises contained therein. And Lord, may I look at that and may my life match that. And if I'm not doing that, then Lord, I need to stop right where I am and stop playing the game. Stop playing the religious game and stop right there and just say, Lord, give me whatever I have need of in order to live that life and match your word. Because I want my thinking to be thrown into Calvary and thrown into Christ. I want my thinking to be shaped by that. And here's Brother Bram said, throw away your traditions because it's going to sound one of these days. That trumpet's going to sound and you're going to be caught with the mark of the beast on you and know not until it's too late. This is going to be, I believe this is going to be the shout. We've already had that. I believe it's going to be a voice. That voice is the voice of resurrection. And a trump is always a calling to a gathering, whether it's a battle or a feast or whatever else. A trumpet will sound, and those that are dead in Christ will rise, and we'll meet with them, and we'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll be gathered together, and then we'll ascend to our place in that wedding supper. That's not just a fable. I mean, even if it is, I'm going to believe it anyway. Because you know why? It's written in Scripture. And the Scripture is now full of fables. You may think, people may think, because of the definition of heresy, people may think that we're believing a fable. It is not a fable. It is a promise of God that He's given to us. And I prefer to believe the promises. I believe that more than I believe you, and I believe that more than I believe me. I believe that more than anything else. Because if it says it, God's obligated to fulfill it and bring it to pass. And if He made that promise to me, I believe God's going to bring that pass in my life at some particular point. But what I'm saying to you is that based on what I've told you, and I've only told you a fraction of what I brought to church today, I got a bunch of other stuff here. And I'm not going to snowball you to death with you know, quotes. You can look them up. You can have this PowerPoint. It'll be on the website. And you can look them up and research them yourself. We should talk more about this because it is so essential. But what I'm telling you is that this is the thing we're coming down to. And I can assure you, based on the trends on the internet and the trending of AI, it's going to get trickier and trickier as we go down. But I got to end with what I started with. And that is this. As a matter of fact, to musicians, if you can quietly come up here. The Antichrist is not going to trip us up if we haven't spoken in tongues or if we don't believe Baptist teaching, or if we're not aligning ourselves with 1906 Pentecost, that's not what the devil's going to try to trip us up with. The devil, I believe, has to move within the confines of what we refer to as the message community in order to create cults, cults of worship, misplaced, and fanaticism in order to draw people away and cause them to worship the wrong thing. It's not outside, folks. It's not outside. It's closer than that. And so a lot of you young people will, testify, and you've told me the things that you've seen, things that you've heard were not really in line with the message of the hour. It seemed like it was somehow outside the box. Well, give it another couple of years. Where are we going to be? Give it another little bit of time and watch the liberties Satan takes. To me, if we have a couple of years, and my goodness, how much more time do you think we have? I mean, anyone got a good educated guess? I have an article on my desk in the New York Times that was published there yesterday, and it said, I'm paraphrasing the headline, and it said, Israel won all the wars in the last little while, but at what cost? The cost for Israel is that it's more isolated than it was before the wars began. And even in the world, they're acknowledging the fact that Israel, in a sense, is kind of standing alone because they exerted such force and military strength with the United States that they don't have many friends. They're willing to come into your backyard and blow the place to pieces. Israel doesn't have many friends left in the world. And the article was saying, in a secular sense, in a military, secular, social sense, Israel is standing alone more and more all the time. You know what that is? Hello? That's the book of Zechariah. That's exactly what that is. So let something happen in the United States. Or let somebody step in and take over her debt. Because that's what a prophet indicated. Now, you and I don't have the privilege of voting whether we're going to stand for Israel or not. Now you have a system in place that's going to destroy Israel just like it would destroy or shut down our churches or whatever else. Man, you really are a ball of happiness today, aren't you, Brother Barry? I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just saying that as we move closer, it becomes a little clearer how this could be possible. I'm seeing more and more how these things could be possible. So, I don't know how you're thinking here. But if I was listening to me, I'd be thinking, if I wasn't baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and surrendered my life to Him, I'd be really thinking seriously about making that change, making that decision. Because I want to be right. I want to be on the right side of this. Because Brother Branham never gives us 5 or 6, 7 or 8 options here. It's either you got the mark of the beast or you got the seal of God, one or the other. And that's it. Cohen, we're excited today because you're making a decision. I think that's wonderful, and I applaud you for that. I'm excited for that and what God's going to do in your life. I think that's wonderful. And I think we should all shake his hand today and wish him God's best because, to me, that's the best decision that you can make. But just a decision alone is not going to save you, and he and I talked about that. It's walking with Christ. It's that encounter with God and having his life inside of him. He's got to display the token because that's what God's looking for. He's not looking whether you're a musician here or whether you're a pew member here. That's not what he's looking for. He's looking for his own life in us. Unafraid to tell the truth. Standing by the word of God. Believing and having our thoughts affected by Calvary and by the word. Let's stand to our feet. Let's sing what we started with. My hope is in the Lord, and I'm gonna pray with you, but I'm gonna slip out. If anybody at all this morning would like to be baptized besides Cohen, you're certainly welcome to come today. We thank the Lord for his goodness to us. Heavenly Father, as we bow in your presence today, Lord, I feel a shaking in my own heart my own spirit, Lord, knowing that if these things are really true, and I believe they are, then, Lord, you bring these things up, Lord, that were preached 50, 60, 70 years ago. And now we're reminded of them in their severity. We're reminded of them, Lord, in their seriousness. And sometimes we just need to be shaken and realize that these promises are written in the Bible and they're true. And Father, I pray that every one of us would be ready. Every one of us would be mindful, Lord, of our responsibility to not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. I pray it move in the hearts of your people. Deal with us, Lord, as an individual, and help us, Lord, to make the right stand, to take the right steps, and to love you with all of our heart. Lord, bring healing to those who need it today. And there are always many, Lord. We commit them into your care and pray that your mercies would be extended, Lord, to each one. Have your way, we pray, in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. My hope is in the Lord from this time on.
Of the ages lies, for whom the raging of the sea subsides, the living sacrifice, the only source of life, my hope, it's in the Lord, from this time.
This is, to me, what he desires to do, is just to surrender his life to Christ. And in faith, I believe he's making the right decision, the right choice. The best thing we can do is just commend him to God, knowing that there's a bunch of angels today rejoicing in heaven because one lost sheep is on his way home. And we're thankful for that. We're thankful for God dealing with you. And we know this is not the enemy. This is the Holy Spirit that's drawing you back to him. And so we're thankful for that. Give me this hand right here. Colin, based on your desire to walk in newness of life and to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Lift up your cross and up your cross and follow him.
praise is to our God. Every word of worship, one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah is to our God. Every praise is to our God. God my Savior, God my healer, God my deliverer. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. God my Savior, God my healer.
A good morning. Amen. I enjoy the word. I love the boldness. Amen. Our God is good. Why don't we, as we get ready to go, let's sing We Are Heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. Key of F.
We are heirs of the Father, and we are joint heirs with the Son. People of His kingdom, we are family, we are one, and we are washed, and we are sanctified, and we are cleansed by His blood. We are born of His Spirit, and we are children the Lord. We are members of His body, and we are objects of His love. We're partakers of His holiness, and we are citizens of heaven above, and we're partakers of His suffering. We're partakers of His grace. We shall meet Him to be like Him, and we shall see Him face to face. And we are longing for His coming, and we are looking to the skies, for we are watching. We shall dwell with love.